You're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. Good evening, I'm Al Voner, and this is this week's edition of The Public Eye. So nice to have you join us. Really happy this week. We got my guest this week is John Lee Hooker Jr. Yes, that name is familiar. He is the son of the blues legend John Lee Hooker, best known for songs such as Boogie Chillin', I'm in the Mood, and Boom Boom. And for the next half hour, we'll be talking with John Lee Hooker Jr. about the music, the addiction, the redemption, many facets of his life. And we're so glad to have John join us this evening. John, nice to have you with us.
And thank you for having me, Al. It's a blessing to be invited to your station. Thank you.
Well, you know, you and I talked a little bit before the broadcast, and you know, to WICN's listening audience, and we've been here over 50 years. Predominantly, jazz and blues has been the mainstay of this radio station. So many people, I know, people will be listening intently, as they say, you know, throughout this half hour. But and I know we can't cover the whole book, John. But first and foremost, and correct me if I'm wrong. Music, addiction, redemption. The first thing that was important in your life, and I'm sure you got that from your dad, was the music, was it not?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct, exactly.
And how instrumental was that in your life, John? I mean, did he come home? Did he sit with you regularly and say, you know, you need to listen to this, or I want you to be comfortable with this. I want to expose you to this because you can pick up where I left off. Was that his intent? Was his intent to have you pick up where he left off as a musician?
Well, no one in our family has he ever tried to push it down your throat. He was a liberal person and gave us the same DNA to be liberal and to do basically do what we wanted to in terms of growing up and finding a career. But like every mother and father that are successful in their fields, of course, it's natural for them to want to their children or their son or their daughter to grow up to be like them. And then it's in the DNA of the child or the children, the son or the daughter to be like their dad. And that is what was inside of me, watching him at 7 and 8 years old, him hiding me in the dressing room. And don't come out here because you're not supposed to be in here anyway. And watching him work the crowds and people smiling, dancing and whatnot. And, you know, even a Santa Claus, the Santa Claus would ask you, what did you want to be when you grow up? And you say, I want to be like my dad, or I want to be like my mother, or whatever the case. So, no, the influence came from watching this gentleman make people smile, make people happy, and earning a living without robbing a bank.
So it sounds like, John, that he was first and foremost a good father. He cared about his family. He cared about, you know, his children, and he gave you, as you said, he gave you the, you know, he didn't dominate your life in terms of saying you must follow in my footsteps. I've already carved a path. He sort of left it up to each and every one of you. So I imagine that you were comfortable with that, right?
Yes, sir. He never forced anything. Everybody's last name is a king or a child of B.B. King or a child of John Lee Hooker. Doesn't mean that they're going to be able to sing or play an instrument. They let the chips fall where they may, and they fell in my direction. And I took up that craft and began singing when I was 8 years old, sitting on his lap in Detroit on the radio and trying to sing, but I couldn't sing. But they thought it was cute that this little boy was trying to mimic his father. So, and of course, the apple didn't fall too far from the tree. Actually, mine rolled down the hill through drug addiction and violence and whatnot. But here I am today talking to you, Al.
Well, you know, John, that's the amazing thing about the book is that, you know, some people would say, well, you know, naturally, you know, his life wasn't normal because he was, you know, he was the offspring of an entertainer and, you know, father was probably not present much in his life, or he traveled extensively with his dad and living from hotel to hotel, suitcase to suitcase. But you know what, John, that can happen to anybody, anytime. It doesn't matter what the parent is doing. The important thing is that the bond that one of you had. But going back to what you were just saying, first it was the music that was already preeminent in your life because your father was a world-renowned musician. But then addiction. How does someone that grows up with a father who was, you know, a famous figure in the music industry, people would say, "Well, Jesus, how why did he take the wrong road? How did that all happen? How did the addiction become part of your life?"
Well. Obviously, people don't really have any knowledge of the spirit of man. It wasn't really ordained from eternity that I be like my dad. It was something that I wanted to do, something that I loved to do. But then there was that pressure to live up to society's expectations. And then there was the eternal part. There was the divorces. There was the violence that surrounded my life as a young boy. And so much peer pressure. And I said this in one of the songs that I wrote, trying to put a Band-Aid over a bullet wound. And the drugs that I used was the tape that stopped the wounds of my tears, my worries, my concern, my depression. So it wasn't so much that his success and his legacy. It didn't mean that made my life a victory. Didn't mean because he was John Lee Hooker Jr., John Lee Hooker, that there would be victory in my life. The eternal part, no one knows except they read the book or sit down and talk to me. There was a lot going on. Like I said, gunshots, violence, so much, divorce, and that takes toll on a young boy or a young girl in their lives. And my dad hit the road because he wanted to make sure that the bills were paid. He sent money home to make sure the groceries, the lights were on. Sometimes the lights went out. We had to use candles to walk around the house. Sometimes the roof leaked. But he was always there to send that money back, have them lights turned back on, get that roof leaked, and get that boy and that girl some school clothes. So he did his part. And don't get me wrong, he didn't drop the ball neither here nor there. It was me. Like I said, the apple didn't fall directly, but it fell directly, but it rolled down the hill, and that's where I ended up at.
Well, you know, John, but that's the great part of the book is the honesty from you. I'm talking about not putting the blame on anybody. Look, you know, no. My life wasn't perfect, and whatever, you know, whatever roads I chose on my own. It was my doing, my responsibility. So kudos to you in that regard. The last subtitle, redemption. Obviously, inner strength or something, and I'll let you fill in the blanks, brought you to a point where you said, "Hey, if I continue on this path, my life will be over. I'll self-destruct." You found redemption. Was music part of the redemption? Was I know faith was a big part. In fact, it is to this day. I know that you speak all over the planet, in inspiring people. But what was it that turned your life around?
Well, there's a saying: through man's extremity is when God presents his opportunity. And I had been to I'll just say hell and back, because I don't really know how hell is, but from my perspective, I had been down in the dirt, in the mud, where even my own family turned their backs on me. They just couldn't take it no more. My dad wasn't a drug addict, and my mother wasn't a drug addict, but I turned down that road. I went to juveniles. I went to county jails, and from county jails and the violence in county jails, and to the prisons as a teenager, prison in Canada, prisons in Michigan, prisons in California. And you just get so dogged and leading a life of destruction, shot twice, cut, stabbed, homeless, like I said in my book, overdosed so many times that I can't even remember, and just counted out. And even I thought that I was counted out. I thought that I was going to die. But like I said, when man's extremity is to its final limit, that's when God presents his opportunity. I was on my way to Soledad Prison. And before I left, I was affiliated, not exactly a member, but I was in association with gang members called the Black Guerrilla Family, the BGF. And so some of my associates came over when they heard that I was there and on my way to prison. They asked me, hey, let's go over to the chapel, and because there might be some girls over there, and we can get a church woman to take care of us while we're in jail. I said, I'm not going to play with God. Man, come on. So reluctantly, I finally went over, and make a long story short, the little old missionary by the name of Missionary Ants didn't put her hand behind her ear and preach loud and preach hell and preach brimstones and fire. She just said, if you're tired of being tired and being tired, she said, why don't you try a man by the name of Jesus who has all power and can change your life and take the chains of drug addiction, alcoholism, whatever kind of habit you have, he can break those chains. And I said to myself, why not? And she said simply, and if it doesn't work, hey, put it to the side. And the message hit my heart because I began to raise my hands and stand up and walk toward that little old small altar at the county jail. And with tears in my eyes, she said, Brother Hooker, after she asked me my name, after she asked me, what is your name? I said, my last name is Hooker. She said, Brother Hooker, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? And do you renounce the life that you used? I was so happy to renounce the evil and the failures and the addictions to all of these substances. I was glad to do that. And I renounced them and told her that, yes, I believe. And with tears coming down my eyes. And I got to take a deep breath here because I'm getting emotional. Excuse me.
Yeah, no problem.
I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Now, when I got to Soledad, I became the prison yard preacher. And I came home, and for the first time, I had a real job. And for 5 years, I became, every day or every time I had a chance, I would study the Bible. And I had a chance to be who I always wanted to be deep down inside. But 5 years passed, And the entertainment world was calling my name. And I received an invitation to perform at one of the coveted, one of the most coveted festivals. It was called the Monterey Blues Festival.
Okay.
And I took that opportunity, and long story short, I went off into the world of music, and two times nominated for a Grammy and W.C. Handy Award, California Music Award, and I was paving the roads, walking the red carpets, and fell back into drug addiction through the clubs and through the nighttime here and the women on this continent and women on this continent and juke joints here and there and whatnot, and winded back up in prison again. Came home, got home, and things start happening again. And the Bible says this, that a righteous man falls seven times and he rises back up again. And I fell several times. And shortcut, making into a quick shortcut, I'm here in Germany and I'm preaching the gospel. I go back into the same prisons that once held me. And now, I mean, prisons in Alaska, prisons in California, prisons in Macomb, Michigan. And here I am over here in Germany, married to my lovely wife. And boy, we bought a home and a property over here. And now I'm doing the same thing. I'm preaching in prisons. And I'm speaking a little German. my life is just phenomenal. And 73 years old, and I'm healthy. I don't take any medication. And I believe I'm going to die in my sleep. And I'm going to die happy. And when I do wake up, I'll be in heaven.
John,
that's my goal.
What comes through so clearly, at least for me, and I'm sure for many listeners, is that, you know, in the early part of this interview, you know, we heard about the falling, how you fell from grace, if you will, how you fell into addiction, how you fell in with the wrong people. And it's like, oh my God. I'm every now and then squinting, closing my eyes, and I'm thinking, wow, dark corners, dark alleys, no escape. It had to be the most suffocating environment anyone could ever experience. And then, like tomorrow, the sun rose, you saw things in a different light, turned your life around. Inner strength, John, I don't have to tell you that. Inner strength, a belief that you could be more than what was happening to you. And you turned it all around. I mean, so for me, the book was not so much about entertaining as it was, and it's the last of the three subtitles, redemption, turning one's life around when almost for many people, and I think you would agree, it would have been an insurmountable challenge. Most people would not have been able to do that. And you did that. And I can hear it in your voice. I can hear the enthusiasm. I can hear the energy, the clarity. So the past will never go away, but it will never be that. It'll never affect you, hopefully, as it did in the past. And I'm glad you've been able to rebuild your life. We've got a few moments, very briefly. So I want to get this in, though. Has there ever been for you personally, when you're alone thinking, and you've got that little bit of solitude, do you ever think, do you get angry at yourself and say, I could have, I didn't have to fall to find myself? Or have you accepted the fact that, with the bad comes the good and vice versa?
Yes, I have accepted. We all wish we could have done something different. I wish I would have grew up in the church, and I wish I would have been this or been that, and I didn't have to go down that road. But there's a another scripture that I'd like to share, and it is that all things work together for the good to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So my bad and terrible and destructive life turned into a good life, and that others who are feel hopeless can feel some hopefulness by hearing my testimony, hearing where I came from. And that is my endeavor. That's the reason God allowed this book to be written with my co-writer.
Right.
Professor Julia
Simon.
Simons. And it was written, like I said, those who are in a dark corner don't know how to get out. I didn't know how to get out until that lady introduced me to the Redeemer himself.
Right.
And that was Jesus Christ. And here I am today. I don't tell you, I don't drink, smoke, cigarettes, and I don't think I don't do anything. I mean, don't get me wrong. That's when you are, the temptation is at its ultimate top level, is when you don't do the things that you used to do.
Right.
And there's that voice. I don't know if you remember Popeye, the sailor man, how
sure do.
The devil was on one shoulder and the angel was on the other. Well, that's spiritually true, because there's always a voice in, man, look at her. She likes you.
Yeah.
And hey, man, your wife wouldn't know. And hey, man, you can get some drugs and just buy it one time. You'd feel great.
Yep.
You deserve a break.
John, you are telling it. You are telling it like it is. We've got to wrap up because we're out of time now. But just real quick, though, if people, the book is great. From the Shadow of the Blues, John Lee Hooker Jr.'s new book is really inspirational. It takes you through his life, the ups, the downs, and how he's found redemption. But John, if people want to reach out to you and get more information, can they pose questions to you? Can they find, is there a website? Is there a way they can get more information?
Exactly. www.johnleehookerjr.com. If you don't put the junior, of course you'll go to my father's website, but you add johnleehookerjr.com and go to my website. Click on ministry, and you can send me a message, ask me some questions, whatever. If you want to purchase a book, you go to my store. You don't purchase from me. You purchase from Amazon and the other distributors.
Right.
So, you can get some music and some books right there on my website. Everything is there.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Terrific. Again, the book is From the Shadow of the Blues, My Story of Music, Addiction, and Redemption by John Lee Hooker Jr. Any questions about the broadcast, you can certainly give us a call here at the studios at WICN. Our main number is 508-752-0700. You can pose any comments, questions, or feedback to me directly. I welcome that. That's Al Vona, V-U-O-N-A, at WICN.org. Again, I want to thank my guest for a very inspirational period this evening. John Lee Hooker Jr., thank you so much. For the public eye, this is Al Vona. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks, Al. ¶¶